Good morning. So this morning we have recognizing our divinity. It's a beautiful thing to recognize. To be in a state of recognizing it, one can only be filled with joy. It's not like, oh, there you are, and oh, that's it. It just doesn't work hand in hand. So the natural world is full of figures that may illustrate man's belief. For instance, the silkworm spins out his or her life and wrapping himself or herself in his or her labor until they die. A brutal man reasons but to do the same. The caterpillar is a good illustration of the natural man groping in the dark, guided by a superior wisdom that prompts his act when his days are numbered. Wrapped in the mantle of this earth, he lies down to sleep, the sleep of death, but the wisdom that brings forth the butterfly also develops its science. In order that truth may come forth, error must be destroyed, and science, groping in darkness, bursts into light and rises from the dead as the butterfly, not the caterpillar. Phineas Perkhouse Quimby, from the Complete Writings and Beyond, article Religion and Disease, printed page on 486. We have a relative side, which is our unfoldment process. This process, we become aware of our true nature as children of God. It is how we grow. It is a continuum of spiritual evolution. All of us are coming to see ourselves as God sees us, each with our own personal experience and within our own personal motion. Seeing only in part of who we are at any given time, what we have accumulated, how we conceive it, what we favor and interest, who we desire to become, what our interests are, and what has our priority brings into the ever-changing conditions and appearances, which often troubles us ever so much. The more we see ourselves as God sees us, we have deeper clarity to seeing the spiritual immaturity behind many of life's problems. What seems unjust and unfair begins to disappear. The need to judge or condemn others begins to have little or no merit. Neither do we blame ourselves if we fall short of our own spiritual path. And this part, this is the evolution, the realization of how God sees us, which could be very stark and troubling, because people can often say, why does God allow this, or why does God allow that, and permit this and permit that? And that is a hard pill to swallow. But when we look into a world of no duality, where it's not about right and wrong and good and bad, but just of life itself, it becomes more purposeful. But this time here is what it is. And it only is a blink of a star, a twinkle of a star. And then it's on to something else. Like in this earlier part from Quimby, showing the illustration of the silkworm, who just works itself to death and then that's it. Or you have the caterpillar, which, not even knowing what it's doing, goes into the darkness of this great science, builds this cocoon, and then out springs from the death of this caterpillar a beautiful butterfly. And so there's all these illustrations of nature showing how things are at work. There is actually a simplicity to it all, and that which is so difficult and deep to understand. And often it comes down to a faith that understands it far better than my logic or reason can ever understand it. My logic and my reason will debate and fight and get upset and panic and worry and freak out and everything else. But something deeper that innate self is like, be still. Be still and know that there's much more to this. Because this is so precious. And I'm sure the 50,000 other generations that have walked on this earth have said the same thing. And the next 50,000 that will come and go will say the same thing. So this part of us, that this early process, this wonderment of it all, as we start to see ourselves as God would see us, is the start, is the spark of how this all happens. God does not see us as we see ourselves or how we look at one another. Unless we're doing it with absolute love and beauty and without judgment, now we have begun to see us as God sees us. And when that starts, a lot of the struggles are lifted. A lot of the problems, that they don't go away, but in my troubled heart, they vanish. In my mind, which can be filled with anguish, or I love it, in the Bible they call it the gnashing of teeth. You can just imagine. It's so poetic. You know, it's like, I think we have clenching fists today with the gnashing of teeth. That's brutal, you know. To be in that state of mind, I'm a pretty upset individual, you know. To move beyond that. If I'm always going to wait till everything just goes the way I want it to go before that stops, I'm going to spend most of my life gnashing my teeth. There's just no way around it. But when I start to take a little bit of a look into how God's plan may possibly work and how God sees us, then the problem's already been resolved. The things that I call problems aren't necessarily problems. Stepping stones? A learning curve? Perhaps. But they're not what I turned them into be. Because now I've made it all so very personal. On a level of self-will. So as it tells us, and as we continue to see this, it has a lot to do with what we experience and what we're becoming. Because everything that we do and become, all that should be taking place first. So it's okay with everything that I'm into doing and all my dreams are about and what my interests are to me and what is of significance and importance to me is all part of that, because that should be as one with helping me to see God as God sees me, sees us. The more we see ourselves as God sees us, we have deeper clarity to seeing the spiritual immaturity behind many of life's problems, which I already read, I just wanted to read it again. What seems unjust and unfair disappears. The need to judge or condemn others begins to have little or no merit. Neither do we blame ourselves if we fall short of our own spiritual path. Now, that doesn't mean we just stop and don't have an interest in helping others. But the truth is, this that has been going on in this planet has never stopped. What is important, as I've heard it put, if you want to change the world, you really want to change the world, change yourself. Then the world will begin to change. If you really want to help the world, help the next person who comes to you for help. Then you've changed the world. You know, it's really a simplicity. Because the big fights, yes, we get somewhere with it, but and even the big fight is fine, but as long as this is being worked first, because the big fight has always been, if you just look at our history, and it's not slowing down. We have entered into the oneship of God mind in Christ mind when we're doing this. And just a little fresh review. We they break it down into this trilogy of subconscious, conscious, and superconscious. In the subconscious, that is the voice of emotion, never sleeping, the center of feeling, reasoning, deductivity, the seat of all memory, accepts mechanically from the conscious phase of the mind. Consciousness. That's the voice of reason, the executive. It is that in us that reasons, wills, and observes. It deals with the outer world by means of our five senses. It reasons both from the general to the particular, deductivity, and from the particular to the general, inductivity. And then there's superconsciousness. That's the I am. God expressing as us. It's the voice of intuition or direct knowing. Above these two functions of mind, it is the mind which gives them their power in the first place to even function, and is always ready to help and assist. We also call it the Christ mind, or the superconsciousness. The power of I am. And we talk about this in I mentioned in Scripture about I am that I am, was the name that was God gave himself to Moses. And if we're of the God that's known as I am, then we must look at this idea of I am. If we are one and we are evolving in image and likeness, then what is the power to these two words? And like all laws, they can be misused, and they can be used in a healthy way, or they can be misused in a very unhealthy way. I've often talked with the law of attraction and the law of expression. We define it simply as moving in the flow of God consciousness, and that's absolutely true. But if I'm caught up in dualistic thought, those powers do not go away. I end up using them in destructive means. And then I wonder, why is it all coming at me? You know? Well, the I am. What do I say after I say I am? Do I put negative words there? Because if I put negative words there, then I'm making manifest into that subconscious, you know, the voice of emotion, never sleeping, the seat of all memory, accepts mechanically that I'm saying these horrible things about myself, so it believes me. And now the emotion kicks in. Oh, yeah, I'm this, I'm that. You know, that's all kicking into the subconscious. Now the subconscious is always there. It never sleeps. The conscious takes 8 to 10 hours a day. It crashes out 8 to 10 hours a day. And many times can kind of zone out. But not the subconscious. No, it's just like 24/7. But fortunately, so is the super consciousness. So what do I say? So do I instead say, I am love. I am beautiful. I'm creative. I am brilliant. I am intelligent. I am an imaginative human being. I am constructive. I am healthy. I'm wise. I'm a dreamer. The power of I am. It's a law. And the words I put after it begin to make manifest within me whether I like it or not. It's not easy to shift the subconscious. It needs to know I really mean it. Senses any doubt, it's going to stick to the same old snag. So I really need to step up. You know, in a way, my subconscious is like my best friend in the whole world. It's going to do whatever I tell it to do. I don't know if that's really a best friend, but that best friend could get me in a lot of trouble. You know, but it's very dependable in that sense. God's guidance is always true too, and consistent with God's nature. Sounds simple enough, right? But God's guidance is always true too, and consistent with God's nature. How couldn't it be? But who takes the time to think that? There's not going to be any debate with that. It's not going to roll into you as a debating concept well, this is God's nature, but God's not consistent with that. It's an impossibility. One moment there's air. Wait a minute, where'd the air go? Now all of a sudden there's no air. Well, it's back again. Imagine that. A nice, inconsistent way of creating life. See, that's the beauty. We're in the image and likeness, because then we create the same way. We build to build perfectly. Whether we ever reach that or not, that's our object. And we love to stretch and keep discovering more and building better. And that's God nature within us. The more clearly you understand the nature of God, the easier it will be for you to discern the difference between spiritual intuition and the mere feedback from your own mentality, or for that matter, from others. You know, there's a lot of people that try to abuse the name of God to their own means, and seem to not have too much respect for what other people will be put through in doing so. In Jesus Christ, the universal and individual become one. We are born of the same heavenly divinity. In studying the life of Jesus, it shows us the way and the steps we need to take and evolve in our own Christ nature or superconsciousness. There was nothing new in what Jesus said. The newness was in his living of it. That was the difference. He often quoted old scripture. It's what he did with it that made the difference. So I ask myself, what can I do today that is different with that which I know? How can I take another step to stretch just a little bit more? The Jesus Christ principle is the principle of living the truth that we know. This is his great gift to us, his demonstration of spiritual principle. We can preach the law of Moses by telling others what not to do, but the law of Jesus Christ must be lived. And we talk again, we're talking to superconsciousness. We're not talking about the man per se. Yes, the man did and said what he did and said. But he also made it very clear, you can do all these things I do. And more. You know, he was not the go-to deity. He was here for 3 years. He ministered for 3 years and that was it. Gone. In the physical. He was meant to be a deity, then he would still be around. But what was meant to be done was to have passed on to each and every one of us what we can do within ourselves. I think it's even in Matthew somewhere, and I'm seriously paraphrasing on this one, where he says, it's not about me at all. It's about the words I speak, because the words I speak come from the Heavenly Father, Mother. It's not about me. Never took credit for any of it, but lived in a way that we could all evolve into as loving, compassionate, full of grace, full of wisdom, human beings. You know, and it's hard sometimes because I also grew up with more of this, I don't even know what the word, this strict disciplinary type of Jesus, you know, and it's just like, you know, how do you think he even spoke with most of these people? How did he live in the trenches? You know, I read today a lot about with the monks in China. I can't think of anyone think off the top of their head, that were chased down from the mountains when the Chinese army came up there and sent them away. And Tibetan monks, yes, Tibetan. They lived up there in this wonderful state of peace and grace and harmony, and they had their own little community. Then they were chased down into the trenches and had forced to go live in the cities. And today I'm hearing stories about some of them homeless and in rehabs, and they have drinking and drug problems. Now Jesus went right into the trenches and nothing like that happened to him. Not even an inkling of it. You know, so I'm like, yeah, I think I want what he got. You know, I want that strength, you know. I want to be able to not be twisted up by man's world, because it's so easy. It's easy to go out into the world caring and giving, and then the world just comes slamming at you. So how do I stay of a greater strength than that? And that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about the man. He showed it in his actions. We're talking about a principle within us that we can evolve into in a higher consciousness. In Christianity, we'll call it, in divine science, we'll call it Christ mind. We also call it super consciousness. And so that's something, the principle remains the same wherever you seek it from. These principles, whether you find it here with us or find it, they're out there. You see other people doing it to a degree in their own way. It's very real. And just to let you know, where did I get this information? Well, the first part that I read, of course, I told you, came from Phineas Perkins Quimby. The second part came from Basic Principles of Divine Science, lesson number 13, the unfoldment process. And I found the recognizing our divinity from part of a sentence in that lesson. So that's why I titled it Recognizing Our Divinity. So, if you'll join me in a closing prayer, I just want to give thanks to truth and to the fact that we are designed in a way that we can practice this truth on our own pace. Need to know. So, however we wish to grow more in this, it's ours. We can move freely into it, and we'll always be welcomed, for it's only who we are. Because all we're doing is recognizing the divinity that we already have been and always will be. And so it is. Amen.